The following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, available on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboo, and at swn.shiningwizards.com.
This is Matt from the Shining Wizards, and when I'm not telling everyone on Twitter to go balls deep in my girlfriend, I'm listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The Shining Wizards Network proudly presents
the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast
with your hosts,
the Impact Playa, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
Gentlemen, from the current to the way back, you're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Episode 51 is in full E-double-F-E-C-T. As always, your gracious host, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Rea, and I am joined by...
Powers, the Mega Powers, and we're live.
No, Dave, we're not
live. Well, we're pre-taped. We're pre-taped.
We're pre-taped. That's right. What's going on, brother? Everything all right?
Yeah, everything's good. How's everything in your hood?
So far, so good. We are 4 days removed from the Royal Rumble.
Man, what a rumble.
Yep. Before we get into it, we, of course, are on the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizardsnetwork.com, iTunes, Stitcher, Buzzsprout, Rant, EM Radio. I want to thank them again for putting us on last Saturday for our live Hulkamania show. And geeklifradio.com also. So we're doing big things. Yeah, I'm very glad you watched the Rumble. That was impressive.
That was a shocker.
I had Chris Espo here from Tattoos and Touchdowns, and we were watching the Rumble. And my phone, and actually his phone, because he's connected to the page, was going off like crazy. He goes, "Who the hell's posting on the group page?" I'm like, "It's not me. It's either one of the admins or it's Mega Powers." But he's like, "Well, Dave doesn't watch the current stuff, well, right?" I'm like, no, not really.
I'm glad to know that people know I don't watch new stuff.
Well, we have a close circle of network hosts and podcasts, other shows that they keep in touch with. You know, they keep in tune with us. I think it's cool. I think it's a compliment that my best friend knows that you don't watch the current crap.
And I don't know who he is, but he knows that I don't watch anything.
Right. Well, he's one of my best friends, and he listens to the show. He's a fan. Shout out to Tattoos and Touchdowns every Sunday live, 10 to 12 on morelikeradio.com. Cheap plug. Him and Will Sweeney. And, you know, they knew. I mean, they all know. But, you know, I thought your interaction with the page was fantastic. We had some great feedback, reaching a lot of new people. And I, again, want to thank everybody for the support.
You know. Well, you know, maybe I'll do it more often. And, you know, I had a lot of paperwork to shred. So watching the Royal Rumble and doing that was kind of on the same level for me, at least. Awesome. And it seemed like a lot of people that were watching. So why not?
All right. Well, we'll get right into it. We'll go right real quick. I was not, you know me, how I feel about titles being defended on a pre-show.
Yeah, it's, well, you know, for guys like us, we aren't used to that. Like, pre-shows normally didn't have anything other than just, you know, promos. That was it. And footage of, you know, leading up to the feuds. And, you know, as time went on, you know, you had like your Sunday night heats that were kind of like the pre-show, but they didn't have any real like special matches. I think they would have like a few title matches, but they weren't special at all. And like at this point, it's just kind of like you have the Intercontinental title, you know, being defended, or the world tag titles now being defended on a pre-show. And it's just kind of like, really? I don't like it. Well, not one bit.
No, I don't like it one bit either. So we do have new World Tag Team Champions, the New Age Outlaws.
And what do you think of that?
I like it, and I'm going to tell you why. I think this is going to elevate the tag team scene that's going to start hopefully to emerge that Triple H has been talking about for the past couple of years on WWE television.
It took them years to finally get a tag title on the New Age Outlaws.
Well, it's been 15 years since their last run. They mentioned that after they won the belts. Cody and Goldust had a great run for the last couple of months. They beat the Shield. They were on a high. Goldust looks incredible for a guy in his mid-40s.
He's doing DDP yoga, you know, no surprise.
A lot of guys doing DDP yoga. It's a good thing.
Anyway. I'm doing DDP yoga.
You look fantastic. You know, you weigh 77 pounds. You look fantastic. but all joking aside, I think this is going to elevate teams like the Usos. I thought the primetime players were going to get a push, but unfortunately they broke up on SmackDown. As I read the results, Titus O'Neil turned on Darren Young.
Yeah.
So I guess Titus O'Neil's getting a push.
Was that even a good tag team?
You know what? They grew on me. They lost their mouthpiece inadvertently because he ran his mouth outside of wrestling and got fired.
Who was that?
Abraham Washington was their mouthpiece.
Oh, him?
Yeah, that guy.
So his talk show got canceled.
Yeah, way after that. but the thing with them was, you know, Darren Young coming out. And then Titus, who I think was hurt, or they had him off TV for a while, so they really didn't click. And now they're bringing him back. And I think Titus O'Neil was getting a push anyway. They were just waiting for an opportunity. So now I guess on Friday you'll see the breakup from what I read this morning.
Oh.
IC title was on the line, I believe. It was Biggie Langston. I think he fought – who did he fight, Biggie Langston? I forgot her. I'm like, where's my Rumble results here? Give me one second. I'm sorry about that.
That was on the pre-show too?
No. It was on the pre-show.
It's like I don't remember watching that at all.
No. Where was it? Not only did Biggie fall. I'm sorry. Cody Rhodes. I mentioned the tag team championship. Okay.
Well, the opening match was Daniel Bryan against Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt, which was the match of the night.
Oh, hands down.
And again, now, I listened to Don Tony and Kevin Castle the other night. I had the same sentiment as those guys, and I'm going to tell you why. The next day, even the night of the show, everybody's pissing and moaning about the pay-per-view on the page. On
everybody.
Pages. I mean, no, dude, it was bad.
Yeah.
I'll get into that in a minute. So Bray Wyatt beats Daniel Bryan. The Big Show Brock Lesnar match was a wash because they wanted to get Big Show off TV. So Brock,
yeah. Oh, I didn't think it was that bad. It was quick, but
see,
these guys could have better matches. But you know, under the circumstances, it wasn't all that bad.
No, and you know what? I was trying to tell my wife this because she was poo pooing on the whole thing, and even Chris. And I was like, you know what? You have to look at the bigger picture. There's obviously a reason why he's beating him with a chair and breaking chairs over his head and neck and arms before the bell rang. He obviously wants to send a message to hype him into the title scene and wants to get Big Show off TV for a couple of minutes. You know, it's no one wants to see Big Show that much anymore anyway.
Yeah, nobody's really been hit by steel chairs, so they don't know how bad it really is.
Exactly. The stinker of the night was Orton and Cena. Now, normally, you know, again, Randy Orton, in my eyes, as vanilla as a character as he is arguably the one of the best workers in the company.
Yeah, but I think, especially now, I think he's just kind of like, well, I don't want to say he's outstayed, you know, his position in the company, but it just got too many great talent that's just kind of, you know, hanging around, and they're not going in the places that they need to be, that, you know, obviously the fans are clamoring for them to be in. Right. And how many times have we seen Orton versus Cena in the past?
Right. No, it's the truth.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm glad you saw it. I'm glad you watched it. Because now you're seeing the frustration of other fans that watch the current product.
And now I understand why Shining Wizards Eddie is always bitching and moaning.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. But for me, you know, I'm looking at the bigger picture. And I kept saying this to them. I'm like, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad. And then I went on my rant the next morning, and I'll get into that in a second. So that was the stinker of the night, man. I thought, you know, normally these guys would put on a clinic and tell a good story, but it was a terrible match.
Yeah, I'll say this. You know, both guys, you know, I don't really have anything, you know, too horrible to say about John Cena. I don't want to say that he's grown on me, but I can, you know, I have a better understanding of his character as the years go by. And it's not all that bad, but I still kind of see him like as a Bret Hart, you know, just like a mid-card guy. I don't see him as a world champion or a champion of a company, but still, you know, that, you know, it's not to say that the guy hasn't had great matches. He needed other people to have great matches with.
Listen,
but
Dave,
still, a lot, you know, of... go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Finish your thought.
But I give those guys kudos just for going through what that audience was giving them and just sticking with the match anyway. You know, it wasn't like a Cena versus Miz match from WrestleMania. That was like possibly the worst WrestleMania main event of all time.
Right.
But, you know, these guys were just kind of doing their thing. They just had, you know, I feel they just happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time.
And I don't give any kind of shit to Cena. I give shit to the people who write his character. Now, I understand the bigger you get in the company, the more say you have creatively. I get all that.
Yeah.
What I don't like is this, you know, they're pushing him. He has that Hogan-esque push. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, where he's like almost unstoppable.
Exactly. Where in this day and age, it's not as believable as it was 25 years ago when Hogan was doing it.
Well, you know, also at the same time, you know, things were, you know, probably more predictable back then. But, you know, to most of the fans that were watching it, you know, even to a degree like the adults, you know, they weren't used to, you know, seeing that kind of stuff. Well, granted, you know, you had your Bruno Sammartinos and Bob Backlunds who were champions for forever. But, you know, they would, you know, lose their occasional match from like count out and DQ and stuff like that. But, you know, Hogan wasn't so much the case. And a lot of the guys that they were throwing at Hogan were believable. Nowadays, it's like the same matches over and over again, similar to like the late 90s, early 2000s going into then, just like the same guys. And it's, you know, before you had, you know, all these guys coming in from different territories and, you know, God knows where, and they were believable. Now it's not so much because, like, okay, I've seen John Cena a million times. I've seen Randy Orton, the Viper, a million times. I've seen Triple H. It's like, you know, what new do you have to offer?
And I think that's where the developmental is going to have to step its game up in the next 5 to 10 years, because now we're coming to that crossroads where Cena's now in his mid-30s. Randy Orton is in his mid-30s. And I don't think you could push these guys to the moon when they're in their 40s. You might want to bring them back for a cup of coffee, for a couple things. I understand that.
Yeah.
But they're going to have to start bringing these guys up, whoever's ready, I should say, or start pushing younger guys that are already up. from developmental.
Yeah, well, there's plenty of guys that are already in the organization
Shield, the Wyatt guys, and we'll get into Roman Reigns in a very hot second. I just, again, just to finish our thought, I don't have a problem with John Cena, his character. I think just the way they portray him at times is what pisses me off.
And I'll say this, a lot of people were happy John Cena won the belts against JBL at WrestleMania 21. You know, there was a time everybody was bitching and moaning about JBL, and I was happy when John Cena won the world championship what was it, the WWE championship, whatever they had.
Whatever it was. No, not, I remember that. But I liked him as a heel.
He was great when he was rapping and all that.
Yeah, I mentioned that. Dude, I'm all about the throwback jerseys and all that crap, you know, and the chain gang and all the other nonsense.
Yeah, you know, plus the dude had to, you know, he had to fit into, you know, the company's mold for a champion, and he had to do what they wanted to do so he could get over and, you know, be the character that he is today. You know, whether people like it or not, you know, that's how he maintained his job for as long as he had. And, you know, I'm not a John Cena fan, but I respect the guy for doing what he did to keep a job.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. I agree. All right, so again, that was a shitstorm of a match. I thought it was so boring, and it was just the movesets were off. It just didn't look right. And those guys used to go all out against each other. It just didn't work, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure they were totally thrown off by the fans and all that kind of stuff. But
I'm going to get into the fans in a minute, because I'm pissed, and I'll tell you why in a second.
Yeah.
All right. So the Rumble match itself, I'm not going to mention every combatant. A couple of spots. Of course, Kofi Kingston did his third year in a row spot monkey move.
Kofi Kingston, great guy.
Black Kofi. I'm telling you, him and R-Truth, shout out to Don Tony, he called it Black Kofi, BlaQueKoffi. That would have been a fantastic name for them, too.
And they could come out to Black Flags, Black Kofi.
Yeah, good song. Love Black Flag. All right, so here's the thing, too. We all thought Jake Roberts was getting the spot because of the run he had cleaning up his act, going on the indies.
Yeah.
Coming on to the Wizard show, coming on to the Man Cave show with me last year. You know, he
even did a match, a Survivor Series match on an indie around Thanksgiving.
Yeah, he sure did. He made a couple appearances locally, like PWS and some other spots.
Yeah.
He's coming to Jersey in a couple of weeks. I thought he was going to get a spot. He didn't get a spot. I understand the comedy spots. Give it to the Los Matadors mascot, El Torito, who's a legit wrestler, by the way. He's not just a small person in a suit. He can actually legit wrestle. And that was cute.
He could go.
No, he could go. I like the spot he did with Punk. Even the JBL thing, I didn't mind. Because he got put out, quickly. And I thought that was pretty cool. But did we need Kevin Nash?
Again.
And you couldn't give that spot to Curtis Axel? You know, you couldn't give that spot to, I don't know, Titus O'Neil or Darren Young? Or somebody else in the company that hasn't been? Or Barrett, maybe? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what the motive it was, unless it's just a Triple H doing his boy a solid. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I also felt like if they were going to use Kevin Nash, you know, I think it may be lost on some of the fans, but I mentioned it on Sunday on the boards, like, you know, why not, like, do something like Oz or Vinny Vegas or something like that, you know, just to, you know, freshen it up a bit, because we, you know, it was a big deal when he came back to the Rumble a few years ago as Diesel. But again, like, all right, well, we already saw this, you know, like, you know, freshen it up a bit for Christ's sake.
No, again, so, you know, you knew bringing Batista back, they were bringing him back for a reason.
Yeah.
And most people were calling him to win it.
He's got the movie coming out. Right. Guardians of the Galaxy or whatever the fuck it's called.
Yeah, good Marvel book if anybody's a Marvel head, comic book head, fanboy, fangirl. Guardians of the Galaxy is a good story. I forgot which character he's portraying, but apparently...
You're saying the one that looks like Batista.
No. But all joking aside, it's a good story if you're a comic book guy. I don't know how good they'll do with the movie, but either way.
Are we still repping Comic Book Jones?
Yeah, why not? They're on the Geek Life Radio, and they're big supporters of the podcast. Shout out to them, by the way.
He's black, right?
No, he's not black. It's a group of guys. It's not just one dude.
There's
Sacco. There's a whole bunch of guys there. So shout out to all of them. Support your local businesses anyway. But anyway, for me, like, I didn't mind Batista coming back. He just looks like complete dog shit, though.
He looks like a shaved gerbil or a hamster or something like that.
He looks like a washed-up Guido. He looks like he looks like some of the guys from my old neighborhood that are still bouncing around like the local bars in their Camaros, you know?
Yeah, like, you know, holding on to their once youthful past.
He looks like what Robbie E is going to look like in 20 years.
Yeah, and he hasn't been away from the WWE for that long. How many years has it been?
About four or five years. And I enjoyed, and I told you this, I enjoyed his last run when he was here.
No, I got to see, I think it was him and who was tagging with him? I don't remember. It was him and somebody else going against Triple H and Flair in a cage at Madison Square Garden. My one and only garden show.
Yeah?
Yeah. And I got to see Ric Flair bleed.
We got to get you to a house show. They're fun still at the garden.
Oh, that was my only house show, and it was fucking off the hook. Benoit against Jericho in a submission match. Edge versus Shawn Michaels in a match. My favorite match of the night, Val Venus against the debuting masterpiece, Chris Masters.
That's cool. That was a cool card. We'll see how money is in March. I'm thinking about taking the boy to like a prelude to Mania. So,
well, the next Garden show is actually the WPW show, March 8th.
Oh, yeah, we can't do that then.
We can't do that. But there's a Raw at the end of the month on the 24th at the Barclays Center.
February 24th.
No, March 24th.
March 24th. All right, well, if money is good, then maybe we'll hit that.
Yeah, I think it's like $70.
I haven't been to the Brooklyn spot yet.
I've walked by it, but I haven't been inside of it.
It's ugly on the outside, but apparently it's gorgeous on the inside from what I saw.
Huh. It looks kind of futuristic when I was out there.
Yeah, no, it just looks, I don't know, either way.
Well, it's like in a shitty part of Brooklyn, so what do you expect?
You know what, though? You'd be surprised. 15 years ago, you'd get stabbed. Now it's all hipsters and artisan fucking ice cream, so don't...
Now it's people thinking about stabbing you. They don't want to stab you.
There's like white people there. It's weird. Like, I was watching some food show that my wife was watching the other night, and they profiled that area. And
yeah, there actually are some like good ass restaurants around there, but
yeah, Dave, not for nothing. 15 years ago, when I started my EMS career, I was dodging bullets, taking patients out of nursing homes on that block, down the block from where that friggin' building was built. Now it's like artisan ice cream and hipsters and fucking bed bug clubs, and don't even get me started.
No,
don't even get me started. All right, so getting back to the Rumble,
yeah,
Roman Reigns, huh? Roman Reigns breaking the record, eliminating double-digit wrestlers in this.
Yeah, what he got, like 12 or 13?
I think he got 13 or 16, I believe, or something like that. But I lost.
But I know he beat Kane's record by like one or two or something like that.
So, yeah, it's got about 13 probably.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. Now, this sets up Kane eliminating Punk was supposed to be a storyline until today, and we'll get into that in a few minutes. But now you see the coming of age with Roman Reigns, and you see him as the next budding star. People have a problem with this too, and this is going to conclude, and I'm going to just going to go into my rant real quick. I put it on Facebook the next day on Monday, and I got on sort of a soapbox thing because, you know what, to be honest, I think fans need to just step back. And I said this a few weeks ago. Step back and look at the bigger picture. Okay? People were pissing and moaning. Even Daniel Bryan cryptically wrote like a Facebook, a Twitter tweet that night saying the machine kept me out of the Rumble. Blah, blah, blah. You know, thank Yes Nation, hashtag this, hashtag that. It's a work. Okay? You know, your top guy is not going to go on social media 2 hours after the event and fucking poo-poo it and not expect any kind of, repercussions if that was legit, first of all. That's first of all. All right? Second of all, you're booing guys like Sheamus and Rey Mysterio. Now, granted, I'm not a big...
They deserve to be booed.
Why do they deserve to be booed? Because they came back? It's not... They didn't... It's not like they were, you know... They're back. It's like they're in the company. You have to bring these people in. Who else are you going to put in at that point? You know, it's like people were booing...
Virgil. That's who they should have brought in.
Yeah. Dude, come on. Let's be real about this now. You're going to... They're going to... The fans are going to boo regardless. I get it. But don't boo for the sake of fucking booing. Don't boo because your guy is not in it. You know your guy's not in it. Your guy is the main guy. Your guy is going to be main eventing WrestleMania, whether you like it or not. They have no choice, but they had no choice to make him a face again.
Mm.
Because, and I heard this on another show, and it made perfect sense. Colleges are doing the Yes Chant. Pro stadiums doing the Yes Chant. Schools, cheerleading squads, fucking pep rallies. Everybody's doing the Yes Chant.
Everybody.
Yeah, and you can't have your top guy as a heel. So they flip the script. And that's fine you flip the script because the guy you flip the script on is also getting pushed to the moon. So, like, you're going to boo Sheamus, who hasn't been there in a half a year. You're going to boo Rey Mysterio for what? They didn't do anything wrong. You know, these
Well, it's not the fact that they didn't do anything wrong. It's just that, you know, a lot of the fans, they just aren't keen to these guys anymore. Like, you know, I never had anything against Rey Mysterio, but I'm done and over with that. You know, I even enjoyed the Jericho feud that he had with him a few years back. But now it's just kind of like, really, like, what else are they going to do with this guy? There's nothing intriguing about the character. There's nothing alluring about the character. Same thing for Sheamus. It's just kind of like, you know, for me, and I'm sure for a lot of people, like, they're just guys that are in the Fed at the moment. And they just have this hot group of young talent that, you know, people would rather see instead. And I'm sure those guys are ready to go.
I just think that, you know, I'm not saying WWE at this point between social media and the whole interaction and the network, they have no choice now, Dave, but to listen to the fan base.
Yeah.
I'm not saying do whatever we tell them to do, but like they listen with John Cena. They listen with Daniel Bryan. They listen when CM Punk was dropping pipe bombs. They listened. And I understand it's a different time, different day. I'm probably showing my age. But really, just shut the fuck up. Fans, just shut the fuck up and enjoy the product. Enjoy it. And if you don't like it, don't watch it. Don't buy the pay-per-views. Don't buy the merch. And more importantly, don't fucking put it on social media. You know, it's like, I understand your frustration. Okay? But you're there. You're sitting there. You paid for a ticket. Like, if you're expecting to be miraculously moved spiritually every time you go to a WWE show live, then you might want to reconsider how you spend your money.
Oh, I don't think it's, like, to that level. You know, people just want a good-ass show.
But you got a good show. You got a great match with Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt. You had a decent...
Okay, one match.
No, you're absolutely wrong. You had a great match with the Outlaws and Cody Rhodes and Goldust. You had a really good push of Roman Reigns. Like, you're seeing the beginnings of new guys. You're seeing that right there. I'm not saying they're going to be world champions in a half a year, But you're going to see these guys getting pushed now to the moon.
Well, that's true. But, you know, for something like that, you know, it happened regardless. But, you know, people didn't want to see Batista as the Royal Rumble winner and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, like what we talked about with Nash and stuff like that. You know, they could still, you know, they could still do what they're doing with Roman Reigns and stuff like that, which is, you know, fine. The guy's like, the guy's really fresh. But, you know, for dudes that, you know, former world champion Dolph Ziggler, come on, like, the guy's got, you know, talent up the ass, and they're not really doing anything with him. And, you know, people are getting, you know, aggravated over this kind of stuff. And I can totally, you know, I totally hear that, you know. It's like, stop, you know, wasting all this great talent.
And I feel like, if you did this on a Raw, you're cheating me. Okay. If
by you, pushing them on Raw?
Yeah. If this happened on a Raw, you know, people would still piss and moan about it.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, wrestling fans have to find a medium. You like what you like. It's with everything. If you're certain music you and I like, we're old school punk guys. You know, maybe we're not going to like a new punk band that comes out.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same concept. I get it. Or maybe your favorite show. I'll give you a good example. We have a lot of wrestling fans that I know that are also science fiction fans. Go figure, right?
Yeah.
And they're big Doctor Who fans, my sister included. My sister Lizzie's a big Doctor Who fan. The fan base wasn't happy when they replaced the main character. So yeah. I get it, okay? I understand your frustration. I understand when you guys piss and moan on social media and you piss and moan, you know, on message boards and stuff like that. But listen, you have to look at the bigger picture. My buddy Kevin, my buddy Anthony, they were right on their show. The guys on Busted Open Radio on XM, they were flipping the next day. Mick Foley went on YouTube and took a baseball bat to his daughter's TV.
I didn't know that. That sounds hilarious.
Yeah, you got to see it. Now, again, do I think that's a work? Mick Foley's not under contract, but he's an ambassador. You don't think his ticket's already booked for New Orleans? You don't think that he's going to be at the Hall of Fame seeing his friends? You don't think he's going to be doing appearances in his stupid stand-up comedy act that he does? No, but seriously, though. And I love Mick Foley. I met him a million times. I've seen him live. Listen, and I could say that because, again, I'm a fan too. But if it's not a work, then validate that. Don't just take a bat to your daughter's TV. I mean, listen, you're worth $15 million, okay? So taking a bat to your daughter's TV on YouTube really ain't proving much to me. If my neighbor down the block took a bat to his daughter's TV on YouTube, I know why. He's pissed. He ain't got that much kind of money anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, again, guys, seriously, and this is for all fans too, look at the bigger picture. And if you don't like it, don't watch it. This is the most exciting time now. You got about 60-some-odd days from now until Mania. You got one more pay-per-view that's probably going to put a lot of things in. Listen, the Shield were kept out of the Elimination Chamber from the Wyatts on Monday night. So now you're going to see that going on. That's going to be a little bit of a feud. That's nice to see. You're going to see a transition now with certain things. Jake Roberts got his call for the Hall of Fame. How do you feel about that?
It's about damn time. But, you know, at the same time, he had to be ready to get that induction. And now he's more than ready. And just fantastic seeing him in the shape that he's in. You know, we got to see him at was it the PWS show during WrestleCon weekend and WrestleMania weekend and
Legends of the Ring.
Guy looks, he looks almost like he did back in the 80s. It's phenomenal. I was completely shocked when I saw him. I didn't get a photo or anything like that, but just seeing him in person, it was like, wow, this guy has changed greatly from Heroes of Wrestling.
There is absolutely no one who, well, there's not, I shouldn't say that. he's in my top three or four guys that can cut a promo and make you believe that, you know, he was the most evil person on the planet.
Like the assassin.
Oh, the assassin's up there, maybe. I don't want to put him in my top 10, but like guys like him and, you know, guys who can cut a promo and make you believe they're evil people, you know. And Jake Roberts was probably one of the best ring psychologists ever. You know, he played mind games with every opponent, and he's good in the ring. He was solid. He was a sound guy. Another guy who was never IC or world champion, but should have been, you know. So
yeah.
Now him and the Warrior are locks. Apparently, there was a kind of a Twitter beef going on with them back and forth, talking about Jake started it with the Warrior, calling him a has-been and some other crap.
All of a sudden,
he gets in the Hall of Fame and changes his tune.
I guess he must have had his posters taken down off of eBay as well.
Yeah, pretty much. He like you, likes to sell bootleg stuff on eBay, and that's not cool.
This is like good quality posters, Phil. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, not at all. You have no idea what I'm talking about. But they had a little bit of a beef. And then the rumor train, the rumor mill keeps rolling. And now we're talking about Sting signing with WWE with a legend.
Sting.
Now, they apparently, there's negotiations going on with Sting and WWE. Rob Feinstein, the owner of Arrow Video.
The kitty toucher?
Yeah, the kid toucher. He put on his Facebook page that he has that from a reliable source, that not only was Sting going to sign with WWE, but it would be a Legends contract. He would have something to do with Mania, but not participate as an active wrestler. And he'd be called the man called Sting, and he'll do numerous things after Mania leading up to the newer content for the network.
So what do you think about that, Phil?
Way overdue. And Rob, apparently Rob, like, followed up his Facebook status with, the person who told me this has never lied to me. It's a reliable source, and we've heard that in wrestling 4,000 times.
Yeah.
But you know what? We talked about this in length, you and I, on and off the show. It's either shit or get off the pot, dude. You know, you're 55.
Yes.
Yeah, you're 55 years old. I mean, I don't know what else are you going to do.
His matches aren't getting any better.
No.
As much as I love Sting, you know, the dude is just, you know, just I don't want to say the guy's becoming like a parody of himself or anything like that, but you know, for years, you know, we would hear, like, just go on YouTube and look up any of his interviews and stuff like that. And he does mention that he would love to go to the WWE. And he mentions, you know, like, oh, if they got something good for me, then I'll go. And it's like, you know, what the hell is going on all these years that, you know, never made him say yes. But made him say yes to WCW or say yes to TNA and those storylines, all that ridiculous shit. You know, I really don't know what to say. If, on the very rare chance that we ever do get an Undertaker Sting match, you know, I'd be happy as shit just because it finally fucking happens. Whether it's good or not, like, I don't know at this point. I wasn't, I watched recently on YouTube the CM Punk Undertaker match. I didn't think it was all that great, but I thought it was better than the other matches that were on there. You know, not to say that, you know, the Undertaker's completely lost it. You know, he still, you know, knows how to carry himself in a ring. And, you know, obviously younger dudes can have a good match with him. But Sting, I don't know. But regardless, it's kind of like going to, you know, some of these indie shows and seeing, you know, Chico Santana versus Greg the Hammer Valentine for the millionth time. You know, some people just don't care. They just want to see these guys, and, you know, that's the deal.
You know, again, with this network, and I mentioned this last week, that guys who should still be on TV but either can't work or they're too old or they could still contribute, now is you have this outlet, okay? Even though Sting's been, like you said, he's been in the business still – not very much to show for it in terms of in-ring ability. I don't think he's had a good match in a couple of years, my opinion. And I'm a huge Sting fan. I was back in the day anyway.
Yeah, well, you know, he doesn't have, like, the Vaders or the, you know, the Ric Flairs in their prime to...
But, you know, he's fought guys in TNA that are talented guys. So he's fought the Bobby Roods and the Kurt Angles and, you know, he's fought AJ Styles. And those guys can still go.
Yeah.
I just, again, you know, there are some guys who can still go at an older age, and there's some guys who can't, and Sting can't. That's the bottom line.
But who knows? You know, maybe there's, you know, something outside of, you know, the wrestling business, maybe his personal life or something like that, just, you know, is keeping him from wrestling, you know, at the rate that he could be wrestling. Because there's plenty of dudes who, you know, were his age, you know, Flair, for instance, had some amazing matches in his 50s, still going.
That's
and, you know, I don't want to rule out, you know, age completely or anything like that. But, you know, I don't really feel age is the issue. I think it's just kind of a matter of, you know, where their head is at and what they're willing to give.
So if it's not an age thing, if it's not an age thing with you, then that it is with me, then is it safe to say that you feel that maybe WWE, he's never been there? So maybe they're afraid to put him in a situation or a story that would make no sense. Like, it's like, oh, let's have him fight Undertaker. Now, you know Undertaker's not going to drop the streak to Sting. So now does Sting come in as the one guy? Like, they never had a history when they were both in WCW together. So there's no hype to it. Do you think the writers can hype him?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's got to be, you know, something to put together for this. You know, I'm sure even fans could come up with an idea to put these guys together. And, you know, this rumor of this match happening has gone on for years. It's not, you know, it's not anything new. And, you know, so I totally feel, you know, there's got to be something. And, you know, if they have writers that can't, you know, write a story angle for something like this, that people have been wishing for years, then they shouldn't even be working there. But, you know, there's absolutely a story there somewhere.
Well, the total package, Lex Luger put his two cents in. You want to hear this?
Yeah.
He was in, he stepped in the room with Brady Hicks for nearly an hour on the VOC Nation radio network. And they asked Luger, does Sting belong in the WWE? And why has he always avoided it? And he said, Sting felt comfortable in WCW, and they always took care of him all those years. So really, when WCW and WWE were coexisting, he never felt a compelling reason or time in his career where he thought if he went back to the – went I'm sorry, not went back, went to the WWE, that there would be a huge positive move for him. I can't say that I disagree. I don't think anyone could orchestrate the ending part of Sting's career better than WWE. They're just so good at that. Are they really, though? Whether it's a Hall of Fame bid or a match with Taker, I would love in big letters, love to see that happen personally. I think it would be the cherry on the top of his career.
Oh, yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, absolutely, because, you know, Sting is one of those kind of guys who, you know, is a name. And, you know, even to the point where, you know, if you watch any of those, like, WWE DVDs, you know, with any legends on it and stuff like that, that has Mean Gene, you know, opening out the show, they always have, like, a Sting banner in the background. You know, even WWE's given props to Sting, you know, when he hasn't even touched their product in any way, shape, or form. And even Sting has said, you know, many of times, you know, he would go out and do autograph sessions and stuff like that. And some people just wouldn't even know who the hell he is. And, you know, looking at the WCW banners or whatever they had for, you know, autograph signings compared to what WWE guys had was night and day. So, yeah, you know, Sting has voiced this publicly that he's, you know, that he absolutely feels that, you know, there's something there for him in WWE just to have his career acknowledged. And, you know, I don't know why he does the opposite, but, you know, I'm not Sting. I don't know what's going on in his life. And I'm sure a dude like that who's, you know, he's made his money with WCW. I'm sure he's made something with TNA. But, you know, I think personally, maybe he doesn't have any reason to go or be involved or have a match or anything like that. But I think professionally, he has more than enough reasons to make that jump.
All right. Well, we agree to disagree on certain things.
Yeah.
And either way, as an old school wrestling fan, I'd love to see Sting on television. I mean, I know.
Oh, hell yeah. Especially on a show like Raw or SmackDown. Hell yeah.
Yeah, he plays a really good authority figure. So even if he does that like on Raw or SmackDown or something like that, or like if he could still get involved a little bit, I don't have a problem with it. The thing with Taker, I mean, of course, it's a dream match. They'd have to hype it like immediately at this point.
And, yeah.
The rumor is that Brock Lesnar's fighting Taker at Mania. I don't have a problem with that either because they're both the MMA guys and, you know.
I don't really have a problem with that, but, you know, these guys have faced each other already. It's, you know, I feel like a lot of the guys that, with the exception of CM Punk, of course, you know, a lot of guys that, you know, Taker's been fed, you know, for the last several years, they're, you know, they're dudes that he's faced a million times. You know, granted, every match is not going to be the same. Every match is not going to have the same feel or reaction.
Right.
But, you know, just speaking, you know, for myself personally, I'd like to see somebody fresh, something like that. You know, it's just been talked about for so long, you know, whether for good or bad, you know, for it just to finally happen and just, you know, like we said, you know, shit or get off the pot, make this happen. You know, I don't want to see Sting when he's 60. Well, I don't know how Sting is going to be when he's 60. For, you know, for all I know, he could be much better than he is now, but, you know, I just feel it has to happen in some sort of fashion and, you know, be done with it.
All right.
Give the people what they want.
Absolutely. If they want Sting, get him in there. I mean, there's plenty of work for him, whether he's 53 or 103. Former GHC heavyweight champion, Kenta, it has been confirmed that he is currently in the United States and at the WWE Performance Center in beautiful Orlando, Florida.
And he's not part of Royal Rumble 1990 at the Orlando Arena, which we'll be talking about later.
Nope, he's not. Kenta has stated in the past that it has been his goal to reach the WWE one day, and it appears that the chance has finally been given to him to a formal tryout. Keep in mind that this is only a potential tryout.
Yeah.
And that he's not guaranteed a spot. Currently, there is no word on how well Kenta is doing at the moment. But for those of you who have followed Kenta like we have, then you know the man can go. Currently, he's expected to be competing in his home promotion of NOAH this February 3rd. He's also going to be at the big Ariake Coliseum show on March 8th. You and I will be somewhere else March 8th. That should be fun. I'll get into that later.
Yes.
But after that, of course, anything can happen.
There's a lot of shit going down on March 8th.
Let me tell you, 32 years old, I don't know. I mean, like you said, this is the guy. This is the original, the innovator of the GTS. If you were to, I don't want to say replace CM Punk, we'll get into that in a second, but if you're going to replace a guy like CM Punk, this can be your guy. He's not going to have the charisma. He would definitely need a mouthpiece, but the skill set, it's like it's CM Punk. It's like a Japanese CM Punk.
Yeah, well, probably I would say Kent is better than CM Punk, but CM Punk is more, you know, he's honed his craft over the years, and, you know, he's not like the most effective striker and stuff like that, and doesn't have the physique, but he has the charisma and the wherewithal to, you know, have an entertaining wrestling match. In a different style than Kenta, you know, more on the performance side of things as opposed to, you know, mat work. But regardless, yeah, I think this would be an interesting acquirement if the WWE were to bring him in. But I can't honestly see him in a top spot or really excelling like other guys have.
No, he would definitely be a mid-carder because they don't see his potential.
He would take over Yoshitatsu's spot.
Yeah, right. Yoshitatsu, out of your skull. Speaking of CM Punk, according to TMZ and numerous sites, my Twitter, my Facebook, my text messaging was going off the meter today between the hours of 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. that my phone actually died.
Damn.
Yeah, it was that kind of news day. So we picked a really good day to do the show.
Yeah.
CM Punk apparently quit. Walked out.
He took his ball and went home.
He's pissed over the way the company wants to use him at Mania. He's not happy with Sting being there.
He's not happy with Sting.
No, he's not. Sources close to the situation and then TMZ Sports is. This is TMZ, by the way.
Yeah.
And who's become a credible
wrestling source.
Punk was livid when he learned officials scripted Batista to win the Rumble because he feels Batista isn't in great shape, which he's right, and wouldn't be featured in the title match at the upcoming WrestleMania, which is their biggest event of the year.
Yeah.
CMZ was told Punk feels he earned the right to be in the main event at Mania because he's been wrestling tirelessly over the past year from house shows to overseas events. Punk was angry when he found out he'd be wrestling Triple H at Mania instead of squaring off in a title match. Sources say Punk's contract, which is up in July, he made the decision to leave the WWE Monday night right after Raw, and we are told right now that he's very serious about his decision and has no plans to return.
Mm.
Your thoughts, Dave?
This is always a tough call, to make because, when he did this with Cena years back, a lot of people took that seriously. And then he was back, like a week later or something like that. And the dude said he was taking like a week off.
Well, he was in negotiations with them.
Or take a year off, rather.
Yeah, but that was different. He was in negotiations with them. It wasn't like a thing where his contract was legit up after he won the belt. So he was taking the belt home. It was funny because he took the belt home, put it in his fridge. He took a picture of it in his fridge.
Who the hell puts a belt in a fridge?
I thought it was pretty funny. But either way, they made the negotiations. He dropped the pipe bomb. He got his contract. Now, here's my thing. I'm a big sports fan. I don't like guys that are under contract and hold out. Technically, you're under contract for another 6 months.
So you don't like the Warrior?
No, I don't. I don't like guys that hold out for money. I don't. I never did. This happens in sports a lot now. Guys are like, guys who get these big contracts and then the team will bring somebody else in for bigger money. And meanwhile, the guy who's the first guy, even though he's a better talent, he feels like he wants more money now, so he'll restructure his deal. But, at this point, whatever. Play your contract out. Prove that you're worth more money. Punk really doesn't have anything to prove because he's fantastic and he's really good at what he does. But in the same breath, you're under contract for another 7 months. Finish your contract. If you're not happy with the direction of the company, fucking leave. Don't walk out on them at the height of WrestleMania because you're not cool with creative. I mean, come on, dude. What are you, 20 years old? You're almost 40 years old. You're almost 40. You're like 33. I think my wife's age, 33, 35.
Yeah, but when dudes like Bruiser Brody would do this kind of stuff, he was cool. But
I didn't think Brody was cool. I thought Brody was fantastic in the ring, and he was really good at what he did. But again, he wasn't contracted. He was a freelance. He was an upper echelon independent wrestler, Bruiser Brody. That's why Bruiser Brody couldn't commit to one organization because of stuff like this. Because if he walked into a town and didn't like the finish, he would do his finish and go home.
Yeah.
Okay, that don't happen no more. You can't do that anymore. And Brody did it because Brody wasn't contracted. And and reading the book that you just gave me, you learn that about guys like that. Everybody who talked about him in the book was like, he's a great guy, but he did this and he was fantastic, but. And then it was always this but. With CM Punk, it shouldn't be a but. It should be CM Punk. It says on his T-shirt, I'm the best in the world. So if you're the best in the world, carry on. And finish your contract. Then go home and piss and moan about it on social media like every other wrestler does.
Well, he made a big old butt of himself today.
He did. Took
for
his ball,
damn sure.
Took his ball, went home. Maybe he's pissed because all the divas he was hitting, Batista now is going to take that role. Maybe he's mad about that, that the older guy, the grandpa's going to walk in and bang all the divas.
Yeah.
So, because, you know, he's one of those guys. He's one of those.
He's a user, an abuser.
I'm really disappointed in CM Punk. I really am. I thought that.
I don't know. I honestly don't know how to call it. I don't really know if this is a work or if this is real. If this is a work.
If it's a work, it's genius.
Because, yeah, because we're talking about it. And
right, that's
we the, don't know.
Well, we don't know. That's the thing. In like
our listeners don't know.
No.
Most people don't know.
Right. So in the same week that Daniel Bryan does it, in the same week Mick Foley takes a bat to his daughter's TV, now Punk does this, so now is it a work? If it's a work, it's genius.
Yeah.
If it's not, then you're a bag of douche, and you should.
And it's happening at a great time, regardless of if it's real or fake, you know?
Again, Dave, this is like, if you're a wrestling fan, this was always the best time in the world. Because
yeah.
even when you didn't get a shot at the belt winning the Rumble, even when that stuff didn't happen, from January to April was the best time to be a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
Bar none. And to this day, now the stakes are even better because when you win, there's an incentive to get a title shot. Okay. So let's end our current with some an update, maybe breaking news, because we broke this. Not that we broke it, but...
We just dug it. We exhumed the corpse.
Well, we did mention on our show that they were thinking about reopening the case.
Yeah.
As of this was posted today, 411mania.com will give the credit to, and apparently the Lehigh County District Attorney's Office in Pennsylvania listens to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, and I'm happy about that. Shout out to them.
Yeah.
The offices of James Martin has issued the following comments about the investigation into Snuka's ex-girlfriend Nancy Argentino's death. Several months ago, I was contracted by the surviving sisters of Nancy Argentino, who died under unusual circumstances. I directed Chief Deputy DA Charles Gallagher III to conduct a preliminary review of the investigative file and any or all the evidence that was gathered over the past 30 years by lead detective, former Whitehall Township detective, and now Lehigh County detective Gerald Procanin, if that's his. This, and others, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. If not, then I'm sorry. Yeah. Chief Deputy DA Gallagher has recommended that the District Attorney's Office utilize the power and resources of the current investigating grand jury in this matter. Accordingly, I directed the circumstances surrounding the death of Nancy L. Argentina and all evidence related there to be presented to the 7th Investigating Grand Jury, which is currently empaneled. Grand jury proceedings are time-consuming. It will take months before the grand jury concludes its work on this case. Under the Investigating Grand Jury Act 42, PACSA 4541 Esquire, the proceedings of the grand jury are secret and may not be disclosed. Accordingly, I will have no further comment on this matter until the Investigating Grand Jury concludes its work. So, Snuka now 70 years old. The Argentino family obviously has not gotten their closure from this brutal death that occurred.
Oh, because he fucking killed their family member
31 years ago.
Yeah,
and
you don't get over stuff like that.
So now, when Mega Matlock Powers, brought this to my attention a few months ago, and then we did the show on it a few weeks ago. And all the digging that Matlock did, I thought, you know what? This all makes perfect sense that they now have the technology and the resources to reopen this case now.
Yeah.
Not it has nothing to do with this case, but the Lufthansa heist, they just caught the last remaining member of that crew. And the guy is like 78 years old.
Shit.
Yeah. And, you know, again, like the last couple lines of this article, because I'm not going to get into the original morning call, that we did that already. But because they followed this article, that, you know, that statement up with the original article that you and I covered. It said that this will take months before the grand jury concludes its work on this case. So now this guy could be almost 80 years old by the time this stuff gets done.
So what's his status at the WPW show going to be?
Right now he's scheduled to appear. So, and he,
until I put a citizen's arrest on his ass in the middle of the ring at Piper's Pit.
let's not piss off our new sponsors, all right? But again, it's something that we will be following, and I'm sure Mega Matlock Powers will have the scoops as they come in regularly, right?
Yeah, well, I'm sure he'll come back to our table, and that's when I'll slap the cups on him. Citizens arrest Jimmy Snuka.
But then you'd have to expedite him to another state, right? Because
something like that.
It didn't happen here. It happened in Pennsylvania.
We'll figure it out.
Okay.
I'm on the case.
All right. Mega Matlock Powers is on the case. You guys heard it first on the Turnbuckle Throwback Wrestling Podcast. That's going to be all for our current. And that's pretty much it. Dave, we have a nice throwback this week for everybody.
We got a sweet-ass Royal Rumble that didn't suck.
No, it didn't suck.
Wait a second. We got questions first, right?
You want to do the Facebook questions first?
Yeah. You know, I pulled out that picture of Dusty's ass since we've been talking about it on and off for weeks. I wanted the fans to ask.
This is from the last – that was from the last night the pay-per-view, right?
Yeah, it was from the pay-per-view.
Make a Ric Flair kiss his ass?
It looks like Ric Flair, and I don't know who the other guy who's kissing the ass to, but – and I haven't seen that event in years, so.
All right, so we should cover that event, actually, eventually.
Yeah.
So our pal Eric Martin wants to know, which did you enjoy most, Ricky Steamboat's WCW run or WWE run? Dave, I'll let you go first.
Well, I would say, you know – NWA, but so the next best thing is WCW.
WCW, because NWA stuff was really good. He was primarily a tag team wrestler back in the Mid-Atlantic days.
Yeah, actually, Paul Jones, one of the favorite feuds of his is him and Youngblood against Sergeant Slaughter and Sergeant Canoodle.
Okay. I enjoyed his WWE run more because I saw him more. I mean, the stuff with Morocco and Fuji was pretty funny. The karate matches, of course,
Morocco would wear like the friggin' bath towel from the hotel,
right?
As
right.
Karate gi,
and then Fuji always wound up hanging him over the top rope with the gi. That was pretty funny. And all the garden shows, anyway. Of course, I enjoyed his stuff with Savage and Jake Roberts and the Honky Tonk Man. But his best matches were in WCW with Flair and Steve Austin. He actually beat Flair for the world title. Him and Steve Austin had a huge feud with the U.S. belt. He was also tag team champion with Shane Douglas.
Yeah, with the feud with the Hollywood Blondes was fantastic.
Yeah, so I think Steamboat had better matches quality-wise in WCW, but he had
Rick Rude too.
Oh yeah, the Iron Man match. I forgot that
was the best.
Good call, partner. Good call.
Yeah. And we did that show not too long ago.
That show we did, absolutely. So I think his WCW stuff was better. I just enjoyed his WWE run, I guess, more.
So you liked him blowing the fire and
Facing
Brooklyn Brawler and SummerSlam 91.
Harry asked about CM Punk taking his ball and going home. We talked about that already. And he also wants to know, why do you think TNA is over in the UK? Personally, I don't like it. It has given it numerous chances, but it annoys the piss out of me. You think TNA fanboys are bad in the US? You want to try raising its faults over here? They react like you just shat in their pint pot. I think shat means shit in the UK, correct?
Well, I use the word shat too.
And the pint pot, isn't the pint is what they – the pint glasses in the pub? Is that what they
– Yeah.
Harry, I don't speak soccer hooligan even though I'm a Chelsea guy.
Cockney.
Yeah, you have to just – no, you know what?
I understand it.
Either way.
You know, when somebody just shits in your Cheerios or shits in your beer or whatever, you ain't going to like it. And he doesn't like TNA over there. He doesn't like the TNA fans. Thinks they're shit or shite. And you know what? I think the reason why TNA is so over in the UK is because they don't really, you know, they have like an indie scene over there, but they don't have anything like, you know, to look forward to, like a big like wrestling events on like – on a normal occasion. And TNA is, you know, giving the fans what they want. You know, they're going over there frequently. They get the good crowd reactions over there. So they just keep coming back. And, you know, this gives like fans a chance to see, you know, a quality show that's not on an indie level and that's not WWE. Because, you know, I don't know how many times WWE goes over there, but, you know, it's giving fans an opportunity, you know, to see, wrestling with a good production with some name talent. And, you know, I think that's really the case, you know, like WWE now, it ain't the best, but people still keep going to the shows because it's available to us. It's, you know, when it's coming around town, you know, brings up all that nostalgia. And, even if you just want to see your one guy like Daniel Bryan or CM Punk, they're going to be there and you want to see them and you're willing to dish out that $70 or whatever.
Well, I know why it's over in the UK, because it's free. That's the main reason why.
The shows are free?
Yes, the shows are free in the UK.
Really?
Yes.
So this is like a total WCW move where they're giving away free tickets.
Yeah, pretty much.
And these guys are probably drunk out of their fucking minds at this free wrestling show. So that's it. That makes sense.
That's why TNA stays afloat, because their numbers are huge overseas, dude. No, seriously, they're ginormous overseas.
And they had Ring Ka King for a little bit.
Those shows were
good. I loved it.
The India thing. Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, I enjoyed that.
I'm surprised they only did one season of it, because from what I heard, they were doing really well.
I think Scott Steiner fucked that all up for them.
When he fucking went into the crowd and attacked the audience.
And he attacked the audience.
Hey, man, he was just being old school.
Dude, come on, man. That's crazy shit.
Well, right, it's Scott Steiner, so he shouldn't be in front of anybody.
All right, so Eric's jumping on the CM Punk wagon. He wants to know if this is Punk's swan song, then you know, where would he go now? Would he go to ROH, New Japan? If it's a work, then he ain't going nowhere. If it's not a work, I don't know. I don't.
You know, the guy's, like, well off now. He doesn't have to worry about money, but yeah, you know what? As an artist,
Ring of Honor is not the same Ring of Honor when he left it.
No.
No, Sapolsky doesn't, you know, own it no more. I think they sold the company right after Punk left.
Well, Sapolsky was just a booker there. I don't think owned any of it.
He ran it. I mean, I think he had a piece of it before they sold it to Kerry Silken. I'm not sure, but if...
Yeah.
And should Dino Bravo be inducted in the Hall of Fame?
Hell no!
Nah, he's a... Not only is he sucks. Wasn't that
I know that's great. I know that's a joke question, Eric. I hope you're joking, my friends.
Yeah.
Or else we're gonna have to arrange something over at your house while you're watching TV.
Yeah, pretty much. let's see. There was some more questions.
Well, you got your Golden Girls reruns playing, Eric.
Don't get me started. I like the Golden Girls, man. We're big Golden Girls fans here.
So, Dino Bravo.
Yeah, Dino Bravo. I don't want him in the Hall of Fame.
And his bootleg ass cigarettes.
Right, exactly. Scott wants to know, does Ring of Honor come on any network? Used to be on HD. No, it's not on the network anymore. You can catch their stuff on YouTube. And if you're a member of their, they have like a membership club. I think it's like $100 a year. You can get all their TV on ringofhonor.com.
Which ain't bad.
No.
If you like that kind of thing.
Right. Or if any of our listeners are from, are not, are from not, they're not local, obviously, They could – well, actually, there's a bunch of guys here that on the Facebook page that posted the TV listings.
Shout out they Coach did. Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Let's see. I think that's it. You put a Fantasy Warfare thing up there. You want to hold that till the end of the card?
Yeah. All right. We'll wait till the end.
All right. So we're kicking it back to 1990. This was Orlando, Florida. 16,000 people, January 21st. It is the third annual Royal Rumble. And the main event was Hogan versus 29 other people. Yeah.
And Warrior was in it. Actually, this was a good-ass Rumble. And you had enough guys in there where you just didn't know who was going to win. This was, you know, like I would, you know, granted, I don't want to say it's on par with 1992. 92 is probably my favorite, along with 89. This is probably, you know, maybe third, but still, you know, it's top three. But you just had a stacked lineup.
Right. So obviously the main event was Hogan. We'll get into the. Again, it's all Hogan at this point.
Yeah, but this was still at a point where Rumbles weren't predictable.
No. The undercard was Jim Duggan versus the Boss Man, the Hands of Stone, Rugged Ronnie Garvin versus Greg Valentine in an I Quit match.
Rugged Ronnie Garvin.
Well, yeah, because he's not smoothie or silky at all.
No.
And the Bushwhackers made their debut a month beforehand. Yeah, no, 2 years before this, so they'd been in there for a couple of years.
Yeah, they were still fresh.
They were still fresh. They fought the Fabulous Rougeaus, who are now heels.
The Ragu Sisters, as they were called by the fans back then.
Dave, there was a dark match. You know, Phil's a big fan of the dark matches.
We're all fans of dark matches.
Paul Roma defeated the Brooklyn Brawler.
Wow.
So we'll get into the first match, which is the Rougeaus versus the Bushwhackers.
Yes.
All right.
I love this match.
I like the match. I like the Rougeaus brothers. I'm a big fan of them.
Yeah, they were just in this match in particular. You know, I know they already had this match at WrestleMania 5.
Right.
So, you know, it's nothing new. But this match in particular, plus, you know, a little backstory for me and this pay-per-view. This is like one of my first wrestling VHS tapes. I think my first was WrestleMania 7, and this was probably my second. And this was huge because, you know, watching Superstars and Challenge at this time, you know, I wasn't seeing any big matches at all. You get like one good match for those shows. And yeah, sometimes they were good. Sometimes they weren't. But this was huge for me. Watching this match, I was a huge Bushwhackers fan. Back then, and I wouldn't mind if they licked my face. That was completely fine.
I'm not even getting into this with you.
Because then you get to, you know, you get to rub their heads. It was great. You know, the fans loved it. Didn't matter how old they were. It was completely fine. You weren't getting arrested. And, you know, if anybody would send me a Bushwhackers video of them licking people, I would be completely fine with it. And you know what? You did that for me, Phil. You sent me this video.
Yeah, I did, actually. I had a hard time I had a hard time uploading this for my box set. It was a pain in the ass, actually. But I finally got it up. You were actually about 7 years old when this came out, so.
Yeah, and I think I saw this maybe like a year or two after it happened, so it was like
right.
8 or 9.
I said, this was your first match.
And the Rougeaus brothers, the double teaming in this match was fantastic.
They had great fluidity, man. I thought, again, the Rougeaus were well established way before they came into the WWE.
And they already had like a false title win.
Yeah,
against the Hart Foundation.
That's right.
What was that? That was like 86, 87 rather.
No, it was 87. It was right before. No, maybe it was later on because they weren't heels for that long.
No, they weren't. But it was still during that WrestleMania 3 era.
Right.
They were Strike Force did not strike with Force just yet. So,
right.
So that, but yeah, Rougeaus were fantastic. They had some awesome matches with the Hart Foundation. They had an awesome match with the Bushwhackers here.
I wouldn't call it awesome.
There's even a funny part where Jacques calls Butch a chicken shit during the match.
Yeah. At one point, the Bushwhackers go for the battering ram on
the kidney area.
Right, but they hit Jimmy Hart. They grab Luke's foot. Luke pulls Hart into the ring, causing the big manager distraction, obviously. The Rougeaus take advantage of that. They hit a sweet double drop kick. Jacques rolls Butch up for the near fall. Ray slaps the Boston Crab on Butch. And Jacques hits the knee drop on Butch at the same time. That was awesome. Luke trips him. Ray tries to help his brother, but the Bushwhackers hit the Rougeaus with the battering ram. And Butch pins Jacques to win the match. So that was
fantastic. And actually, this is my first time seeing a hot tag.
Dude, again, these guys had fantastic. They had that Midnight Express fluidity to them. You know?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If your second match, Brutus.
Wait, Beefcake. What was that sound all about?
I don't like Brutus Beefcake at all.
This match was fantastic. Yeah. I don't know what your beef is with Beefcake.
I don't like this at all.
This was great, especially. I'm surprised you didn't like how it ended.
No, I love how it ended. I just don't like him.
And this was actually, for me, this was a decent Beefcake match. Knowing what I know about Brutus Beefcake now, you know, back then, Beefcake was, for me, he was the man. He fucking beat up people, choked them out, gave them stupid haircuts. You know, what more in a face could you want? And the only answer to that right now is talent, and he didn't really have much of that. But still... For me, still, this match holds a special place. And I thought it was – well, it's an entertainment match. There's no real wrestling going on in this match, you know, despite sensibilities of the genius.
Well, Lanny Poffo can work. So, I mean, that made it –
There's some fantastic cartwheels during this match.
He was a very limber dude.
Yeah.
Let's see. Beefcake – nailed the genius and applied the barber's chair when he was at the sleeper hold.
I never heard it called the barber's chair until right now.
Nay, they called it the barber's chair.
On the video, they call it the sleeper hold.
Right, but in print, it's the barber's chair. I don't know what the hell.
Like also the rocker dropper. Nobody ever called it the rocker dropper, but
years down the road, it turned into the rocker dropper. No, actually, that's where I beg to differ. The magazines gave names to all these moves.
Like which magazines?
The WWF magazines. Their publications. That's where you heard like Barber's Chair, Rocker Dropper.
Yeah, but it's not like the announcer. You know, the announcers for this were the great team of Tony Schiavone and Jesse the Body Ventura.
Yeah, Jesse wearing his Mickey Mouse shirt because they're in Orlando. I thought that was great.
Looking, wearing his cool Mickey sweatshirt.
Right, right.
It's like with Mickey kind of pulling down the shade, showing his eyes.
Exactly. Look. So
while Jesse Ventura has like that on with like these stupid Mickey Mouse ears and a rat tail.
Right. So he goes to apply to the barber's chair, but Genius elbows out of it. He gets a headlock on him, tries to do an Irish whip, but Beefcake reverses it again into another sleeper hold. I'm not going to call it barber's chair anymore. It's gay.
Yeah.
Genius fell to the mat. The ref was knocked out. Here's the best part. Beefcake cannot be awarded the win, so he gets the big friggin', you know.
He got the clippers. He didn't have the shears. I've never seen him cut anybody's hair with the shears, right, with the exception of Sherry.
He gets the scissors, tries to cut the hair of the genius, and then Mr. Perfect comes out and hits Beefcake with a perfect plex. Referee gets up and disqualified both Beefcake and the Genius. Perfect brought the chair into the ring and nailed Beefcake in the ribs with it. So that was the best part of the match.
Yeah, and the way that Beefcake sold it was like this guy was dying. And, you know, I haven't watched this pay-per-view in a while, but I remember when I first saw this, I thought it was more than two chair shots because that's all it was. It was just two chair shots to the ribs. And just the way that Beefcake sold it was just kind of like the guy was dying. It was like a parasailing accident in the ring.
After the parasailing accident, they should have used a magnet on his head.
Yeah, they should have. They should have done. I think like nowadays they would have done something like that, or even with Lex Luger's, you know, forearm, just all this random shit. Like he gets counted out because his fucking magnetic whatever steel plate is caught on the ring post or something like that.
Right, right.
But anyway, yeah, it was, for me, that was intense. I thought something was badly done wrong to Beefcake. And as Mr. Perfect would say, you know, hair grows back. But Beefcake, your ribs, they may not grow back the way that you want them to, or something like that, because you got tongue-tied at the end of the promo.
Right. So, all right. So your next match was a submission match.
My favorite match of the night.
One of my favorite wrestlers of all time, and I get a lot of crap for that because, truth be told, Ronnie Garvin is not a great wrestler.
No, by no means.
But
he's still entertaining.
Oh, yeah, absolutely he's entertaining. He's the man, actually. Ronnie Garvin fights.
He beat Ric Flair for a few months as world champion.
Yeah, he beat him for the belt. So this was a submission match. This was the figure four leg lock.
Versus the Garvin leg lock, as it was called on the pre-show.
Right.
So from now on, I'm not going to call the sharpshooter the sharpshooter. I'm not going to call it the scorpion deathlock. I'm calling it the Garvin leg lock. And everybody that's listening to this show right now, you can hold me down to that.
So, I don't know. Again, this week, they do a good job in print. Like, if you look on Wikipedia or some of the other, on the other sites.
I thought this match was great. They never really had submission matches at this point. This was completely brand new. I know one of our listeners was bitching and moaning, saying, like, hey, you better drink a cup of coffee while you're watching this, or shoot some heroin and do some coke while you're watching this match. You know, that may help that. It may help this match. But for me, I like it as it is because it was a brand new concept. You weren't seeing this kind of stuff. And, well, for one thing, they go for a lot of pinfalls in this match, which I loved when I was a kid because it just kind of showed like how caught up they were getting into this, that they just wanted to beat one another. And actually, before we get into the match, there was an interesting build to this feud, which I thought was hilarious because Valentine actually beat Garvin in a retirement match on like Superstars or Challenge, one of those shows.
Right.
It was a garbage match. It sucked. It was like 4 minutes long, something like that. You know, Garvin was distracted. Valentine pinned him. But Garvin wouldn't leave. He got a job as a referee. And I don't remember who Valentine was facing, but Garvin disqualified him during the match. Rightfully so. And then Garvin lost his referee's license. And like at SummerSlam 89... he was the guest ring announcer for Valentine's match against Hercules, doing one of the most hilarious ring introductions, in my opinion. What was it? Like he said something like, you know, coming down the aisle in cheap rhinestone with his so-called manager.
That's awesome.
It was hilarious. And, you know, I know a lot of there's like mixed opinions for this match. I thought it was fantastic because, you know, Greg Valentine, he's a great talent, and you know, this was kind of like his last really good run before he would, you know, hit the high school gym circuit with Chico Santana.
This was 9 years before the Heroes of the Ring.
Yeah, you know, he was prepping for that. You know,
he was prepping to look like an old lesbian.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So this was a submission match. I enjoyed the match. At one point, Garvin applied the Indian Deathlock on Valentine. Of course, Valentine was caught in the ropes.
Oh, we forgot to mention the Hammer Jammer and the Heartbreaker.
The Hammer Jammer, yeah, the Heartbreaker. What do you call it? Greg Valentine would have that friggin' hockey shin. It's like a shocker.
Baseball shin guard.
Well, it was a cut shin guard that went on his just, you know, and he airbrushed it, looked like a, you know. And he would use it to his advantage when he applied the figure four. Let's see. At one point, let me get my notes here. Garvin released the hold. Valentine went for another figure four, but Garvin blocked it with an inside cradle. This is your in and out. This is your pinning situation that you were talking about back and forth.
Yeah.
Garvin slammed Valentine to the mat. He untied the figure four, Heartbreaker, whatever you want to call it. But ironically, that's the same. Heartbreaker was the same name as the Heart Foundation's move. Then he changed.
But that was a heart attack.
Heart attack. They changed the name, but I'm not even going to get into that. But Valentine pulled him outside the ring. Garvin tied Valentine to the ropes. Hart tried to untangle him, but he got pulled in. Garvin threatened Hart with the heartbreakers that hit Valentine with it and applied the hammer jammer on Valentine, who submitted.
No, that was the Garvin leg lock.
Right.
The hammer jammer was was Ronnie Garvin's shin guard.
Right. He applied the hammer jammer on Valentine, who submitted. That's what I said.
In the Garvin leg lock.
Doesn't matter. It's the same thing.
And also, you didn't mention this. There was a great part where Valentine had the figure four on Garvin.
Oh, right. And what about the Garvin going for the pile driver? And then Valentine backdropped out of that.
Yeah. But the figure four thing was a crucial part in the match because, you know, that's Valentine's hold. And he had the heartbreaker on. But Greg Valentine didn't know was that the hammer jammer actually blocked the figure four. And Ronnie Garvin didn't feel any effects from the figure four and started making faces at Greg Valentine. He started sticking his tongue at him.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. All right, so your fourth match was Jim Duggan versus the Big Boss Man.
Right. Which was good, too, even though it was like a punch-kick kind of match.
Well, that's what – were you expecting a scientific match with Jim Duggan?
I don't know. Maybe like if, you know, when you watched a lot of those TV shows from the 80s, you know, some guy would get hit on the head really hard and then he would become smart. So I don't know if that was going to happen during this match.
But this wasn't the 80s.
It was 1990, so that makes sense now. They were a year removed from that actually happening.
This is the 90s, brother. Dark lipstick and grunge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this was like 1990, so.
And Bajas.
It still had like that little taste of the 80s, that
character based. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. The neon and the tank tops and all that kind of shit.
I will say this, though. Boss Man did hit an enziguri.
Yes, he did. And it was fantastic.
Yeah. So for the Big Boss Man, who's 370 pounds, to throw an enziguri on Jim Duggan, who's 6'2 and 260, 250.
Well, Boss Man was kind of agile like that, so
he was a great big man. I have nothing but love for the Big Boss Man. Rest in peace, Ray Traylor.
And do you know what Jim Duggan said on the pre-show to Big Boss Man before this match?
I got a stick for you, or something like that. What do you
something that his nightstick was bigger than his?
His nightstick was bigger than. I did see the pre-show. I love when you find the pre-shows.
Yeah, there's a lot on there.
It gets me all excited.
I was kind of surprised.
Yeah, it makes me all excited when we find the pre-shows to these things. Let's see.
The Brother Love Show with sensational Queen Sherry and Sweet Sapphire.
Sweet Sapphire, baby. Give me some sugar if you will. Slick, at one point, Slick grabs Duggan against the ropes. Boss Man charges him, obviously does the spot, hits Slick instead. But Slick was able to give Boss Man the nightstick. Slick tried to distract the ref, but the ref saw Boss Man hitting Duggan with the nightstick, and the referee disqualifies Boss Man, and Duggan was your winner. Right? Is that it? Or
yeah. Well, I don't really have anything much. Well, the only thing I can really say about this match, why I appreciate it, you know, I'm sure there's guys like your Michael Norengongers who are going to be like, oh, there wasn't any title matches, there wasn't any this or that, you know, happening for this event. But, you know, one thing that I can appreciate is a match like this where, you know, Duggan and Boss Man, they're not like the greatest wrestlers of all time, but they knew how to have a brawl, you know, brawling style match, and they knew how to sell for each other, which is just fantastic. I don't know. There's no real good quality selling in wrestling, in my opinion, for the most part.
I totally agree.
I think that's also why wrestling isn't, you know, why people aren't so caught up in matches and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, a lot of people argue about the ROH style kicking out of finishers. And, you know, that's the case too for WWE. I yearn for the days of a finisher actually finishing a guy, but I understand, you know, things change. You know, there's a lot of crazier shit going on in wrestling today, but, you know, sell the fucking move. That's all I got to say. If you're going to kick out of something or something like that, you know, get a foot on the rope or something like that, you know, not some sort of dramatic kick out and all that kind of stuff over and over again. That's reserved for guys like your Hogans or whatever, your top draws.
Speaking of Mike and Adam, I want to thank them for their contribution to last week's show. I didn't get to play their clips live on the air because we were taking calls. It was crazy. But I did put the stuff on the download, and it was really good stuff about Hogan. So I didn't want to forget about those guys. I'm glad you brought up Mike's disliking of not having title matches at the pay-per-views.
Yeah. But Mike's we all know about Mike's problem, so I won't get into it.
There is no problem. Mike's a good dude. Adam's a great guy. Sydney, Tim, Brody.
You know, denial is the first sign of a problem, and we know Mike Noren Gonger is going through some denial. It's okay, you know.
Anyway,
he'll figure it out.
This is at a Midnight Jury. They had a really good show on the Shining.
The Midnight Network. Denial.
Midnight Jury on the Shining Wizards Network. And 9 other great shows on the network. We'll get into that later on. So now we're up to the Rumble match.
Wait, we forgot Sweet Sapphire and Sensational Sherry on the Brother Love show.
That was on the pay-per-view, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was on the pay-per-view.
I apologize. You're right. Please go right ahead. Take it away.
Well, you know, this was leading up to the big feud at WrestleMania 6 between the Macho Man
and Big Dust.
And Big Dust mixed tag match, the very first mixed tag match at WrestleMania. And I thought this was an interesting feud, in my opinion, just because, you know, Savage was a world champion. Dusty Rhodes was a world champion. And the best way to put it was this was just a mid-card feud. And anywhere in the world, this could have been a main event. But it was just an entertaining little mid-card feud. And I think the best thing that came out of it was actually there was a few shining moments from this. And this is one of them. The Brother Love show where, Brother Love says that he has been reading the Book of Love and came upon the definition of a lady. And it had a picture of Sensational Queen Sherry. And, she comes out and they're all lovey-dovey because they're all, of course, close personal friends of one another. And he brings up that he's also been – he continued looking in the Book of Love and saw the definition of the word peasant, a woman with no class, a woman with no finesse, a woman with no beauty, semicolon, ugly. And whose picture was that, Phil, that was – next to that definition?
That was Queen Sherry.
No, it was Sweet Sapphire.
Sweet Sapphire, right. That's right.
So, she comes waddling out and dancing in the ring. And, Brother Love lays it down. He's like, enough of this. And, he does one of his classic Brother Love stints where he, asks the peasant, Sweet Sapphire, big questions like, what do you see in Dusty Rhodes?
Do you want to play? You want to play some of this, or
you have it?
Yeah, of course I do.
Let's play some of it.
She's looking good, Tony. Look at that.
You like that?
I might even go for a date with the Queen. Checking that out.
Stop, Jesse.
Sherry looking
so
elegant.
Kiss to the hand. Isn't that nice?
Isn't that nice, so is your money, sir.
A lady indeed. Yes. Welcome to the Brother Love Show.
Thank you very much, Brother Love. It is an honor and a pleasure to stand before a man that radiates boldness, masculinity, and knows the true meaning of love.
Oh, Sister Queen, thank you indeed. But you know something, Sister Queen? When I was thumbing through the Book of Love,
that's right, here it goes.
I also came across the word peasant.
We know a few people like that, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yes, indeed. You see, because
they had a definition of the word peasant, and it said a woman with no class.
Then again, we know a whole lot of people like that, don't we?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I do.
It said a woman with no finesse.
We definitely know a woman with no finesse.
Oh, yes.
And other things, don't we?
Oh, yes. And you see, it also said a woman with no beauty, semicolon, ugly.
I would say overweight myself.
Yes. And you know what, Sister Queen? There was a picture next to the word peasant.
Who was it?
It was a picture of our guest at this time. She is the manager of the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, Sapphire!
Yeah! Oh, yeah, here comes tons of fun.
Polka-dots and all!
Polka-dots and all.
Now you tell me something, Shabani. If you could have a date with either one of these, who would you choose?
Let me think about that.
You mean you have to think about it?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm really attracted to a woman with pineapples above her eyes.
Or just a woman here.
But yeah, exactly.
Oh, please. Do I have to watch this? It's disgusting.
Dude, I love this.
She's got rhythm.
Yes.
Yes, she does.
Mama. Look at you. Yeah, I'm seeing me. Nice clothes, huh, Sister Queen? Yes, indeed. I see. Looks like she shops in the same place American Dream Dusty Rhodes does.
I just want to ask you one thing, honey. Who exactly is it do you get your clothes from? I want to know so that I don't make the mistake of looking exactly like you.
Oh, indeed, yes. But you know, Sister Sapphire, I have a question for you. Now, Brother Dream Dusty Rhodes is, by his own proclamation, a common man. Now, if Dusty Rhodes is a common man, what does that make you?
Well,
I guess. That would make you nothing more than a common woman. And that would make you nothing more than a commoner.
Offended.
And nothing more than a peasant.
He should let her talk,
that's
for goodness
right,
sakes.
Peasant. You neglected the curtsy when you come in here. Yeah. Where did you get off, Sapphire? Thinking that you have enough of what it takes to breathe the same air that I breathe? Shut up. I'm not finished, you morons.
Oh. Yeah.
Get all these people.
Where do you get off thinking that you are good enough to even stand in the same ring as Brother Love?
Well, you know, Sister Queen, you see, I understand where you're coming from and all. Being the manager of the Macho King, Randy Savage, I could see what you could see in a man like that. But tell me something, Sister Sapphire. What is it exactly that you see in Dusty Rhodes? Well, I'm sure that you see a whole lot in Dusty Rhodes, because after all, there's a whole lot to see in Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah, we got Dusty over here. We've got Dusty over here.
Now, wait a minute.
We've got Dusty there.
Now, wait a minute.
We got Dusty there. We got Dusty everywhere.
Oh, yes, and indeed, there's a whole lot of him to go around. Yeah.
Boy, that's the pot calling the kettle black, for goodness sakes.
For goodness sakes. You, honey.
How long is
you and
Brother
him
Love?
Make quite the pair. You probably got enough to go around, considering the fact both of you are the same size.
Oh, yes. Now, you know, one other thing that has puzzled me. You know, Sister Queen, I know that being the manager of the Macho King, that you travel with the Macho King, of course. But, Miss Sapphire, do you Do you travel with Dusty Rhodes? Well, I'm sure you do. He probably jumps in the front of the pickup truck and loads you in the back, and off you go, huh?
That's right. He probably does drive a semi, and I bet a lot of you people here can identify with that. And not only does he drive it, honey, but from the looks of you, I would say he has to use a forklift to put you in the back of it.
Oh.
Look, I've had about enough.
There we go.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Look, I had about enough.
Now Savage goes to...
Yo, Savage was about to murder Sapphire in the ring.
And then Big Dust tries to come in. Savage assaults him. And
I don't know what Savage was on this night, but he was ready to fucking beat the shit out of Sapphire.
Savage looks like... And then Sapphire jumps on Randy Savage. Pretty funny. I let that go because, you know, Dave and I could describe all these things that happened in the past. And so, and now that I have the technology of audio, there goes Shane Stevens, the referee, a.k.a. Shane McMahon. They called him
yes.
Shane Stevens. That's awesome. You know, something just need to be played. That particular clip, and I'm kind of glad Dave brought it up because the way he was describing it, I was like, you know what? I just need to play this because it was a defining moment at that time. And,
yeah.
And you know, I mentioned, you know, my love and adoration for the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. I was a teenager who was almost appalled that Dave
brought, come on. You wanted to get in that ring and dance.
No, I really didn't. I was just in shock that this was Dusty Rhodes, the common man, if you will. That, you know, he was the bull of the woods, Daddy. He was the living on the end of a lightning bolt. He was a 3-time heavyweight champion. Now he's a pizza man, a plumber man, a common man.
Taco man.
The taco man, if you will. So now, like, for me, this was a defining moment in my wrestling watching because I just, you know, as Dusty beats up on Brother Love. Ironically, everybody in the ring is dead except for Dusty and Brother Love.
Yeah, Sweet Sapphire's dead. She was actually older than Dusty Rhodes during this time.
She was a driver for the wrestlers. That's how she got the gig.
Mm-hmm.
She was like a chauffeur for when they came into certain towns. All right.
I wonder who was tapping that.
Mr. Sapphire. I don't know. I want no part of that.
But do you remember what Dusty wanted, as opposed to Sapphire, to come down the ring with him for this gimmick?
Who did he want?
Yeah.
It wasn't Elizabeth, right?
No,
I forget.
He wanted to have like a woman that was going to portray a hooker to come down the
aisle right.
with him as his manager.
That's right, because when you mess with baby doll, that's risky business. You know that. Let me tell you something, dude. We're going to do a Dusty Rhodes, a couple of Dusty matches this year.
And one with his gorilla, his monkey.
Oh, yeah. That's right, baby. The Bull of the Woods, the American Dream, the Common Man, if you will. All right. So,
a robot took my job. It gave me a gold watch. It kicked me in the butt, baby.
A computer took my place, baby. The best part about Dusty Rhodes is he captivated you. And for a 300-pound man to move like that.
And to dance like that.
Yeah. And then he danced almost as good as Sapphire.
Almost.
Almost as good as Sapphire. Because Sapphire can move. She had the big old hips.
She had some good gyrations going on.
She had them childbearing hips, baby.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Fresh off of catering, into the ring. Letting her freak flag fly.
The freak flag flies.
Yeah, that's what she did. It was flying high.
So here we are, Dave.
The common flag.
That's right, the common flag.
The common freak flag.
The common freak flag. These are all my freaks out there. Who like the freaking peak. And leak all their juices everywhere, if you will.
Oh, God.
Yeah, exactly. See, this is why we can't have nice things, Dave. All right, so can we finally get into the Rumble match, or are we going to do some more fucking Dusty
Well, that's what some of the fans wanted. They wanted some more Dusty impersonations.
All right. Well, they got it tonight.
All yeah. Right. So we got the wrestlers doing their promos before the Rumble. My favorite was Chico Santana talking about how he's got a lot of friends. Yeah, right.
Do you want to play them or?
We can play the Chico one. I love all of them, but I know it's going to take up more time. It's up to you.
It's all right.
Yes, last year it was. Yes, and I guess the year before.
And this year, too.
It's WrestleMania Day.
It's WrestleMania
year.
Day, and I ain't no fool. I know where I'll be. I'll be Skydoming in Toronto.
Oh, what an event it's going to be. We have some comments from some of the 30 participants in the Royal Rumble. Here's what they had to say as we talked to them a little bit earlier today.
Something?
It's the Royal Rumble, baby, and we already know our number, and it's right where we wanted to be, boys.
That's right, Jimmy, and I hope the Warriors' number is close to mine,
and I hope
because I don't want no one
to get blown
to lay a hand on it. I want to take care of you, Warrior.
Why didn't they shoot him during that?
Nobody is safe from the earthquake. Everybody's going out. Everybody, nobody is safe from me. You're going to feel the earthquake. I guarantee it. Lady Luck's already on our side. You know, last year, we had to choose number one and number two, and we ended up...
And that we took a heck of a beating last year. I know how hard you can hit.
I know how hard you can hit. But this year, it's going to be a little bit different, because we know where our numbers are, and we've got an opportunity to beat up on everybody else.
And that means 28 of the baddest dudes out there, all out for themselves. Well, just remember, we got us too.
Hey, wait a minute. It comes down to two men, me against you.
You know, I might kick your stick on you, man.
I hope you beer belly sharecroppers have a big box of tissues because there's going to be a lot of wet eyes out there when you see your 29 spineless cockroaches that you call your heroes go down in defeat against me because it's every man for himself and I'm always a winner.
Whoo, yeah! Macho King Randy Savage. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah, you proved yourself today, Daddy. Yeah, you did, baby. Now I'm going to prove myself. I don't care if you're in there when I get there. I don't
in
care
there when I get
if I got
there.
To be there all day long.
Right.
I'm going to be there until
be there.
Prove myself,
prove
baby. Because
the
Rumble going to see you get your dues, Randy Savage. Come in here, darling.
We're going to get
right
your Randy Savage dues,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Today's the day, today's the day, the Royal Rumble. Oh, you know something, on days like this, we get so excited, we got to take it easy. The Royal Rumble's here. You know something, earlier, we were about having to face each other. We
know
by now,
Marty?
That's not going to happen.
Bigger than
there's
yours.
28 other guys we got to worry about. Everybody get ready, because the Rockers are coming at you.
That's right, don't matter who it is. Powers of Pain, I hope we get our hands on you, but it doesn't matter. Ultimate Warrior, Hulk Hogan, the Rockers are coming, and we're going to rock and roll, strut and stroll, and we're going to take care of business.
That's right, get ready, everybody. The Rockers are coming at you, Royal Rumble style, high flying as ever.
Yeah.
Michaels had like the shortest time.
The time is at hand.
Oh,
the legacy, the destiny, it will be fulfilled today because the mighty Hercules is ready to rumble. No friendships here today. So I'm sending out this warning and you better listen to me and listen to me real, real good.
I'm
friend
not
or foe, I don't care who you are.
Don't
I'm
try to steal
this
me.
Rumble Royal
I got
today
a big team.
Cause I've got the strength and I've got
I
the power
you.
And I'm ready for anything. Yeah.
Mountain Hercules. I love him.
Take a look at this profile. Take a look at this.
My favorite.
One. Oh,
the model.
Yeah. You like it, don't you? I know it. And untouched. And believe me, this afternoon, nobody at the Royal Rumble, 30 man, nobody's going to touch this beautiful face.
I love Rick
yes,
Martel.
I've got it all. I've got
so
it all. And you know it. And I'm going to prove it that not only am I good, but I am the best wrestler there is.
He hides
the
her
best
Rick
looking
Martel
one
poster when he's around.
One of them all.
She wears a cardigan.
I've got a lot of friends in the WWE.
There you go.
But once I hit the ring, friendship is over. I'm coming to fight, to win. I'm going to hit it hard, and I don't care who it is. If I get in my way, I'm going to do my best to throw him out. Tito Santana coming out a winner. Arriba!
He's going to hit it hard.
Woof, woof. A Royal Rumble. I know it's everybody for himself. But let me tell you something else, people.
Okay,
back in
brother.
Ireland, when we go fishing with them sharks, I know it's loaded around with everybody. Royal Rumble, woof, woof, woof.
It's on the side
well,
of the highway.
Well, you know, inquiring minds want to know who's the biggest and who's
when
the baddest in the Royal Rumble.
Chevrolet.
Well, my opinion is, at 457 pounds, 6 feet 9
inches tall, the man, the brother from Africa. He's the baddest. He's the best.
If they refuse
to understand that the power of the Ultimate Warrior
and the eBay policies
amongst the WWE,
and I don't
then let them continue to walk
eBay
as normal as they seem. But if those 28 normal men
want
to have special attractions such as Royal Rumble, then you and I, as the Warriors, the most powerful force in the WWE,
he looks like a big, giant
only
candy
as
corn.
Another challenge, only as another day of combat.
Candy corn colors.
28 of those normal men, stacked one on top of another, can't come close to the feelings and the destinations from parts unknown. Realize, as I do, that the 29th man, you, Hulk Hogan, walk with a different force field around you. Walk on horizons that are close to where I've been. But no one in the Royal Rumble shall form a team. Every man shall fight for what he feels is in himself. And I, the Ultimate Warrior, will fulfill another destiny.
Okay, Jesse the Body Ventura, we've heard from many of the participants in the Royal Rumble.
You don't need a belt. You just need to fulfill a destiny by winning the Royal Rumble at this point.
Absolutely. I agree.
You know, this was all about bragging rights. It was about giving the fans something to talk about leading into the next big event.
Okay. So, let's see who came in and came out, shall we?
Yeah.
All right, so your first entry was Ted DiBiase.
Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, who was previously number 30 at the last, well, not last year's Royal Rumble, but 1989's Royal Rumble.
Right. Your number, he gets eliminated by the Ultimate Warrior. He stayed in for 44 minutes and 47 seconds.
Wow. He was the Iron Man for this one, but...
pretty much. Oh, no, was this... Wait a minute. When was What's-His-Nuts in there? Where's the... Where's Rick Martel? Oh, never mind. This wasn't Rick Martel's year.
Rick Martel, I think, was like the following year.
Right.
91.
Okay. Coco Beware was your second entry. He got... DiBiase threw him out at a minute 36.
Threw his black ass out of the ring.
He said black ass. He no Yardbird.
Black ass
no
out
more,
of this
no
ring.
No more Yardbird, David. No more Yardbird. All right. Marty Jannetty was in there next.
Get your white ass out of here.
Yeah, he was thrown out by DiBiase. Jake the Snake was the fourth.
Get your snake ass out of here.
He got thrown out by Macho Man. And then Macho Man got tossed out by Dusty Rhodes.
Get your dues, Randy Savage.
Get your dues, Randy Savage. I'm coming for you, Daddy. And then Piper was eliminated by Bad News Brown.
This started the whole black and white feud at WrestleMania 6.
Yeah. Bad News Brown and Piper's encounter led to one-on-one match at WrestleMania 6, which resulted in a double countout.
And Rowdy Piper painting himself half black.
Half black, right. Doing the friggin' Al Jolson meme half black.
With the Michael Jackson glove, too.
Michael Jackson glove. That was pretty funny.
Probably borrowed it from Rene Goulet.
Big Dust.
His bowling glove.
Big Dust was in there next. Got eliminated by Earthquake. Andre came in next and was eliminated by Axe and Smash. That's up another feud.
Because Andre and Haku were the tag champs at this time, the Colossal Connection.
The Colossal Connection, that's right. Red Rooster was eliminated by Andre.
Nobody cares about that guy.
Axe was eliminated by Earthquake. Haku was eliminated by Hogan. Smash was eliminated by Haku. Akeem was eliminated by Snuka. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
Jimmy Snuka was eliminated by Hulk Hogan.
Hogan just, like, clotheslined his ass right out. He's immediately. Like,
stop killing girls. Dino Bravo was eliminated by the Warrior.
Thank God.
Earthquake was pulled out by Snuka, Smash, Haku, DiBiase, and Neidhart.
Damn.
And then Neidhart got tossed by DiBiase, Martel, and the Warrior.
Mm.
Now the Warrior finally comes in. We'll get to his in a minute. Martel was eliminated by the Warrior. Tito Santana was limited.
Chico Santana.
I'm sorry, Chico Santana. I stand corrected.
Yeah.
If you're a new listener, we don't call him Tito. We call him Chico.
It's the correct pronunciation, so.
I apologize, Dave. Honky Tonk Man. HBK was eliminated by Ultimate Warrior. Bob
in 12 Aaron. Seconds.
Right, in 12. Was it 12 seconds? Yes. It was
12 seconds. He came in there. Warrior just threw his ass right out.
That's right.
Bob for Barry, talking shit before the match.
That's right. Bob Barry was eliminated.
Told everybody to get ready.
That's right. Pay your dues, baby. Pay your dues.
Shawn Michaels wasn't ready.
Fuck Shawn Michaels. He's not Bonesaw. Bonesaw is ready. Shawn Michaels was eliminated by the Ultimate Warrior. The Barbarian was eliminated by Hercules.
The Mighty Hercules.
The Mighty Hercules, who is not a slave anymore.
Oh.
Rick Rude was eliminated by Hogan and Perfect. Hercules was eliminated by Rick Rude. And now Warrior was eliminated by Hogan, Warrior, and Rude. And then Hogan got Mr. Perfect and tossed him out.
Who drew the perfect number, but not the perfect results. Not the
perfect results. So DiBiase sets the new record by lasting 44 minutes and 47 seconds. And we mentioned Axe and Smash. Of course, that was Toronto that Tony Schiavone spoke of. WrestleMania 6 was headlined by Hogan and the Warrior.
And this was their first clash.
Right.
This was their which... Everybody was on their feet for this one. This was a defining moment in the World Wrestling Federation since there weren't many face-versus-face confrontations, and this was just pure – it wasn't for any – well, it was literally for the belts, but this was a matter of respect and to really see who was the better man. And their confrontation in the Royal Rumble was very brief. They just kind of – eliminated everybody that was around them and started crisscrossing the ring until they both double clotheslined each other. And then the Barbarian comes in and, you know, picks his spot between these guys. But it was that, you know, Mike Norenganger with his wanting belts and all this kind of stuff on the line, but you can't replicate something like this.
No, this is why. The time between the Rumble and Mania is important. It's times like that. Time stood still. These two guys were on a collision course. You felt it, like Dave said. Nobody was sitting down.
Nobody thought this would happen in the first place.
Arguably the two most popular guys in the industry at the time, and now they're set to face off in a few months after this. So this was the big stage, and this is why the Royal Rumble of 1990 was not only epic, but it set the stage for a bigger stage, which was WrestleMania 6.
Yeah.
So,
and this was the start of the predictable Royal Rumbles. But for all intent and purposes, you know, for a good while, regardless of Hogan winning it, regardless of Bret Hart and Lex Luger and Ric Flair and all that kind of stuff, The lineups were just stacked. Like you could have literally picked anybody, and it could have been a reality that one of these guys could have won. Nowadays, it's okay. We already know Batista's going to win it, so whatever.
Right. All right. Well, there it is, Dave.
Fantasy warfare time.
Fantasy warfare time. All right.
If this was a legit contest. It was still Royal Rumble, still Royal Rumble rules, but these guys were legit fighting each other. Who do you think would actually pull through and win this?
Would this be a title shot, Royal Rumble?
No, this is just guys fighting each other, throwing each other over the top rope, but they're legitimately fighting each other. Same rules, same everything, same guys, same order.
Well, you had a couple of legit badasses in that ring.
Exactly.
You had Haku. You had Bad News Brown.
Andre the Giant.
So
and the Dusty Canadian Rhodes, Earthquake.
Earthquake, Dusty Rhodes, Dino Bravo.
Rick Rude.
All these dudes were legit badasses.
They were tough guys. Jim Neidhart. I don't remember if you mentioned that name, but.
Jim Neidhart. Was Jim Neidhart really a legit badass, or just a junkie now, you know?
No, probably a junkie now, but back then. He was tough. He was in the NFL for a while.
Yeah, a lot of guys were in the NFL. So Tito Santana, what does that mean?
Well, just means football wasn't tough enough.
Obviously,
so they come to the World Wrestling Federation and work every day for the rest of their lives for years on end.
You are not lying, Mega Powers. All right. I have to pick somebody.
Yeah.
Shoot. I'm going to pick Bad News Brown.
Why?
Why? Because I think the bigger guys will get eliminated by the rest of them to save themselves. And like, they'll get rid of Earthquake. They'll get rid of Andre. But the legit badasses, the Hakus and the Bad News Browns, those guys will stick around. Like them, Dusty Rhodes, Rick Rude. I think Bad News Brown, with the martial arts background and the legit punching people out, I think he'd win it if this was a legit shoot.
My pick would be Haku.
Okay, again, it can go either way.
Yeah, because he's just one of those guys who's got that rep. Part of me doesn't want to pick him because, you know, it's like this big tall tale, which is probably true, you know, that he's like not a murderer like Snuka, but, you know, he could still, go in there and just, you know, take what's his. Because guys like Andre, I could see everybody just like immediately jumping on him and throwing him out. Same thing for Earthquake. But a dude like Haku, I don't know. Part of me feels that he would take it. Or an alternate, even though, I don't want to really pick an alternate, but I'm going to do it anyway. But if he was smart, I would say maybe a Marty Jannetty or Rick Martel would hide under the ring or something until the very last moment and then pull out the victory. Just a thought.
All right. Eric on the Facebook page says it would be Earthquake, and our buddy Tank, Mr. Tommy Meehan, pick the Warrior. So if you guys...
I mean, somebody on the Facebook page, not the group, pick Hogan.
Oh, let's see. Let's see. Go on the actual Facebook page, and let's see what the... Let's see.
Granted, there's more action on the Facebook group, but we put the same stuff on the page, too.
Yeah, my cousin Anthony picked Hogan.
He said easy pick, too. I don't know about that, pal.
Oh, Anthony's a Hulkamaniac, so...
Oh, okay.
He's family, so I can't really shit on him. But he's a good guy. All right. Either way. So here we are. We are at the pulling the train in.
Yeah.
So I'll play some of the Rumbles music in the background there. All right. So this has been episode 51 of the Turnbuckle Throwback Wrestling Podcast on the Shining Wizards Network, swn.shiningwizards.com or shiningwizardsnetwork.com. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, Buzzsprout, The Rant Radio Network, rantemradio.com. We're on Geek Life Radio every Saturday night, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And what else we got going on? Here we go, a couple of shout-outs. Shout-out to the, of course, our network, 9 great shows, Midnight Jury, Dan Lopez, 2.5 Wrestlers, and Pro Wrestling 101 with Justin Credible, The Fallen Angels, The Neckbreaker Guys, Stickman, Apex Radio with the Wolfman Jack Foley, and of course our brothers in arms, the Shining Wizards.
Yeah.
Shout out to The Bloke Show. Shout out to Mega Powers Radio. Big shout out to all those guys have been fantastic lately. NXT Cast, shout out to them. Don Tony, Kevin Castle, Wrestling Soup. Who else are we missing, Dave? Did we miss anybody else?
Just a shout out to the world. How about that?
Yeah, shout out to the world. Facebook.com/Turnbuckle Throwbacks. You can tweet us at Turnbuckle Throwbacks on Twitter. And, of course, email TurnbuckleThrowbacks1@gmail.com. Big show coming up on March the 8th. Dave and I will be a part of that. Let me get onto the page here. World Premier Wrestling is coming back since 2008. New York's fastest rising independent wrestling organization, family owned and operated since 2008, like I mentioned. We put on a big show at the Resort World Casino in beautiful Queens, New York.
Loosest slots in town.
That's right. Resort World Casino in Queens, New York on March 8th. The card is called Resurrection. This card will feature mix of top-notch talent from all around the country as well as local stars. Prior to the event, there'll be a mega meet with Mega Powers and Phil, of course, will be there. a photo and autograph signing called the Holy Grail from 2 to 6 that will allow fans to meet many of the biggest names in wrestling of the industry of the past and present, as well as the premier stars of, and bombshells of World Premier Wrestling. So for more info, go to, and for tickets, obviously, go to WPWWrestling.com. You can follow the comings and goings of WPW on Twitter at WPW_wrestling, or follow me on the Turnbuckle Throwback Wrestling Podcast. I think that's going to be doing it for us, Dave.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, so for the Mega Powers, I am the gracious host, as always, the Impact player, Mr. Phil Rea. Thanking all our friends and fans on Facebook and Twitter and social media and everywhere else. And we'll be back next week with another kick-ass episode. Dave, anything else?
That's it, brother. All I got to say is, Angyo Kaseyo. Goodbye in Korean.
Oh, goodbye in Korean. Okay. And, of course, as always, take care of yourselves and each other and avoid the clap. And we'll see you guys next week.
Adios.